to open the eyes of our understanding. Almighty God, we ask you that you would allow us grace, Lord God, to bring forth your word. Let it be the words of Almighty God and not merely the words of men. Let us decrease, Lord Jesus, that you might increase. And send your word forth to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We are talking about pursuing. Amen? Amen? This year of pursuit, we're pursuing these four things: the kingdom of God, the things of God, the restoration of God, and the enemies of God. Amen? That's what we've been talking about. Now, to accomplish those things, we must pursue these things daily. The voice of God. God's word says, my sheep know my voice. Amen. I cannot tell you how many Christians I know who say, I can't hear the voice of God. Yes, you can. You must listen. My sheep know my voice. If you're one of his sheep, you know his voice. Strangely enough, sometimes it sounds like your own. Sometimes it sounds like your wife's. I'm just going to say, I know when it's really the voice of God, when it's somebody I don't particularly care for. And I know it's one of those words that I'm like, oh, yes, Lord.
Or when I'm talking, it doesn't line up with your
ears. Well, yeah, that happens. You know, so we've got to listen daily and pursue after the voice of God.
No, we have to daily pursue not only his voice, but as you're listening to his voice, you're going to be able to pursue his ways. He's going to tell you the way in which to go. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you're going to pursue something, you can try to pursue it in your way and probably not get very far, or you can pursue it in the way of Jesus. He says, apart from me, we can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. We've got to be able to pursue his voice. We have to be able to pursue his ways.
Amen. And then daily, we must pursue the heart of God. We must pursue the heart of God. Why do we pursue the heart of God? How else are you going to know him? How else are you going to love him? Unless you know what his heart is. It says, David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who pursued after the heart of God. And of his line, there is no end. How would you like to be that? Have that said of you? Of the lineage of Rex Beals, there is no end. Of the lineage of Matt Nelson, there is no end. Amen? Look, that was David was a man after God's own heart, and that's what it got him. So, we're going to quickly review P in purpose of pursue. The first, the letter P, is for purpose from last week.
We're going to have to purpose to know what you're pursuing, or you're just going to end up aimlessly chasing. True? If we don't purpose to pursue, if we don't like, this is, I am purposing in my heart, and I know that this is what I'm supposed to be pursuing this month, then Leonard, don't we just end up aimlessly chasing everything? And so we're going to have to. So last Sunday, in case you weren't here, we're going to review real quick. These things that God's word says we are to purposely pursue. One of them is righteousness, which is right standing with God. Another one was godliness. We're to pursue godliness, which is the character and the manner and the ways of God, the way he handled situations, the way he handled people, the mannerisms of him. Godlikeness. Then we have to pursue faith, the purpose in our heart to pursue faith.
And then we need to pursue love. God is love. This should be very obvious. However, you do need to pursue love. Amen?
Amen.
Number five, endurance, or as New King James says, say it, patience. Endurance, we need to be able to finish the race. Like I said last week, you don't want to come up running a marathon, run 25 miles, 5,275 feet. Come up 5 feet short of the finish line, right? We need endurance. And then we need gentleness. We must pursue gentleness so that all things that we do have the fingerprint of God. Amen?
Sometimes that's hard because we're called into the army of Christ, and sometimes as a warrior for his kingdom, it's hard to know how to pursue gentleness. Sometimes it's difficult. We get to swing in our sword so much we forget that gentleness is something we're supposed to pursue also. And then we talked about peace, that we're supposed to pursue peace. I was talking about how I spent about a year of my life just learning how to pursue peace. And when we talked about peace, the Bible talked about it in three different ways. One was pursuing peace with God and just peace personally, being able to stand in the perfect peace of God. It also, we talked about that we were supposed to pursue peace with people. Our feet are supposed to be shod with the gospel of peace. And so we're supposed to pursue peace with people. And it also says we're supposed to pursue things of which make for peace. Again, sometimes we're just busy pursuing things and we're not even stopping to think about, when I pursue this thing, what's it going to make for somebody else? And it says things that make for peace. The Bible says we're supposed to pursue the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Again, there's a million and one voices that can give you a million choices every day on things that you can pursue. But if you can begin to pursue the knowledge of God, it's going to get much simpler for you to know what you should and should not be pursuing. We also talked about, the Bible says we're to pursue other believers that are in the same pursuit, that call upon the Lord with a pure heart. The same, you may have to take a look at some of your friendships this year. You may have to move things around a little bit and say, you know what, I need to get away from some of my unbelievers. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of unbelievers that sit in churches every Sunday. A lot of unbelievers sit in churches. So you may have to move them around a little bit. And I say, I need to get some believers that are in the same pursuit I am this year. People that are pursuing after God with a pure heart. Not for their own agenda. Not so that they can get what they want. But after a pure heart, they're pursuing after the things of God.
You're going to have to pursue after your enemies. Now, like we talked about on Sunday, make sure your enemies are God's enemies. Not just your personal enemies, but that they are the enemies of God. That should be your enemies. Amen? You're going to have to pursue after things which edify others. Edify, a really nice word for build up. Saying those things, it's part of your scripture, saying only those things which are good for the building up of others. Everything you say should build others up. Amen? And then finally, holiness. Self-explanatory, but let me explain. Are we warm back there?
It is warm in here.
Oh my gosh, my wife took her jacket
off. It is warm
off.
In here, I'm just going to say. It's like...
See, you know what's funny
is... somebody else said that, but it was me.
I'm so used to this. It's hard. I live in this all the time. I'm not even moved by it. It's 99 degrees. I'm like, I can live on the equator now. After living with Beth for almost 29 years, I can live on the equator, not even blink. Andy walked into our room one day, and he goes, oh, my gosh, Dad. He's like the third ring of hell up here. How do you stand it? I said, baby, endurance.
It's good for you.
Endurance. Ah, look at that. Victor, you're the hero. So holiness is not fans in the warmth. Holiness is right standing with God, pure. Amen? Pure. Purity of your heart. All right, so the you in pursuit is for understanding. Understanding.
That was cute. I like that. Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs.
Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs in the middle of your Bible.
Old Testament. Good.
Hey, Noelle, that should be purpose. Just saying. Just saying. Pursue is all right, but... redundant. Proverbs 8:1-6
is what we're going to be reading.
Does not wisdom call out? Noel will fix that in just a second. You're going to actually have to open your own Bible. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple gain prudence. You who are foolish gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right.
Amen.
Amen. Now look. Did you find 8 yet?
Yeah,
is that
it's been
8?
Up there.
Okay. Go back to the first. Remember, anytime you read in a scripture in just a couple of lines the same thing over and over again, back to 1, hon. Okay, thank you. Does not understanding raise her voice? Now, if you look, she raises her voice, she cries out loud. Can I tell you what wisdom is doing? Hello! Wake up! Wisdom raises her voice on the heights, along the way, on the path. She is calling out to you. Now, if you will turn when the voice of the Lord calls, when wisdom calls out to you, if you will turn, you will find yourself being wise.
Able to hear. Again, it says, she cries out. She raises her voice. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice. Again and again, you get this picture. And what is happening is the voice of wisdom, of understanding, is trying to raise its voice above all the other voices that you hear every day. But like a radio, you're going to have to tune in to hear her. It also says, look at where it is. It says, on the heights along the way. On the heights along the way. In other words, I'm in the high places where my voice can be heard. I'm not down here where all the nonsense is going on. Look at where your neighbor's ears are. You're in the higher place. Aren't you glad that your ears aren't on your feet?
Being a jogger would be really bad, wouldn't it?
Can you imagine how much harder it would be? But sometimes that's where our ears are. Our ears are down here, where all the nonsense is going on all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. And it says wisdom is not down here in all the nonsense and noise. Wisdom is in the higher places. You've got to tune your ear up here and say, I want to hear understanding. I want to hear wisdom. You're in the high places. Let me tune my ear into you.
Next it says, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Look, the place of decision, where paths meet. Can I tell you, wisdom is waiting there for you, calling out to you, where the paths meet, beside the gates leading into the city at the entrances. Can I tell you, before you go in, wisdom is there going, hello. Now, you know what else was out at the gates? Every other distraction. Every other distraction. You know what was at the crossroads? People trying to get you to come to their town. Trying to get you to come to buy their stuff. And so wisdom is speaking. Now all of these other voices, like Bethy was talking about, are speaking also. But wisdom is trying to get our attention, because understanding is single-minded. Understanding is single-minded. I'm going to tell you, James, the book of James, talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That is a man without understanding. Understanding is single-minded. I get it. I know where I'm going. I'm not confused. When you come to the Y in the road, you go, ah, I need to go left. As opposed to, it could go left or could go right. Just don't, right? Cut yourself right down the center because you're double-minded. You have to know that wisdom is single-minded. Understanding, single-minded.
Says she takes her stand. That is very single-minded. This is the way understanding says that you should go. Confusion always says, are you sure? You come to the crossroads. You get to this. You get out of the city and out of all of the noises, and you get out there and you go, okay, understanding, I need to hear your voice. And understanding says, this is the way you should go. And right there next to understanding is confusion going, are you sure? Why? To keep you in that place where you're double-minded instead of single-minded and assured in your steps. Turn in your Bibles back to Proverbs 4.
Proverbs 4, verse 1 through 7. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. And all the fathers said, amen. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Yeah. Now once again, when things get repetitive, you should listen. When God says, get wisdom, get understanding, hold on to understanding, don't swerve from understanding, and get wisdom. You should go, wisdom and understanding seem to be good things to hold on to. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So, understanding, it says, gain it, get it, don't swerve from it. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Mm-hmm. Though it costs all you have, how much is all you have?
All
is all. Get all that you have and give it for understanding. Amen. Why? Because then God can give you more. If you are a fool, why would God give you more? Just so you can squander it? That's not the God that we serve. He said, get understanding. I want to give you more. Why? So that I can show you blessed. You may know what to do or what you want to pursue, but it's understanding that will make you successful in that way. Look, I cannot tell you how many people manage success very short term. They are successful, and you see these people, they build a company, bankrupt it, build a company, bankrupt it, build a company, bankrupt it. Now, I guess that's better than somebody who never does anything, but it's pretty painful. And God says to get understanding, though it costs you all, to be successful in that way long term. Understanding what to, how to, and why I should seek understanding. Understanding what to. And what am I trying to gain understanding? And why it should be something I seek after wholeheartedly. Understanding the principal thing. A lot of people chase facts. Look, Wikipedia. Bethy and I were just talking about this. Here's the dumbest thing on the planet. Let's make a book that we say means something, and anybody can write anything they want in it. Please don't ever go on your search engine and look up Wikipedia and take it as gospel. It is not. You know what the definition of Wikipedia is? It's an online encyclopedia that anyone can add to. Huh? Yeah. The guy next door who couldn't find his hat with both hands, he's writing in. Ooh, I know what that means. So just a thought. We need to gain understanding. People chase facts all over the world. Google, billions of searches chasing facts, and they get lost and faint along the way because all they're doing is chasing facts. They're not seeking understanding. They're just trying to get facts.
But if you will pursue understanding as to why those facts exist, then What happens is you'll maintain purpose and endurance along the way. If you just have a fact and you're just chasing a fact, you're just going to faint. But if you get understanding as to why this fact exists, now all of a sudden you're going to have purpose and you're going to have endurance along the way. That's why we have to seek understanding. Let's say you want to pursue peace. I need some understanding. I need to understand what to do. How do I pursue that? Why should I pursue that? Think about it this way. Here's a simple fact. You should read your Bible every day. That's a fact, right? Now, a lot of people set out just in that fact, I should read my Bible every day. And that's all they got is the fact. And they faint along the way because they don't have any understanding of why it's a fact. You know, now if you have some facts and you go, well, you know, people that read their Bible every day, then they don't get as lost when they have to make decisions. When they get out into the dark world and they hear about the things that are going on in the world, they don't feel so overwhelmed. And they begin to get some different types of understanding as to why these facts exist. Now all of a sudden, you're motivated to continue in that way. Now all of a sudden, I have understanding. Something is simple. We do this all the time with people in the counseling realm. Let's say a husband, every time he mentions to his wife, hey, they were talking about a mission trip in church. I think I want to go. And she just gets angry and defensive and shuts down. And so he just gets mad. I don't know what her deal is. Every time I even say the word mission trip, she flips out. And he just runs around and gets mad based on that fact and never seeks understanding as to why that fact exists. And then maybe one day he sits down and he goes, so I was just curious. And he finds out that she had an uncle that got kidnapped on the mission field and they've never seen from him again. And now all of a sudden he's like, oh. Now, if I want to go on a mission trip and I feel called to do that, I have some understanding as to how to talk to my wife about this, how to reassure her, how to maybe bring her alongside of me in this. But you've got to get some understanding as to why the facts exist, or you're just going to chase facts and faint. In everything this year and in life that you choose to pursue, you're going to have two options. You're going to have the option to seek understanding and pursue it in God's way, or just to pursue it in your way. You can pursue a lot of things in your way, or you can take the time and the effort to seek things in God's way. Turn to Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Once again, God's ears, they're not down here either. They're higher. In fact, they're higher than our head. And they're higher than our hearing. They're up there. And so whatever you're going to pursue, you've got two choices. I can do it according to my understanding, or I can pursue the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding of the Holy Spirit, who is my personal counselor, available to me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to get the understanding that I need to pursue what he has laid upon my heart to pursue.
Look, it's this simple what she's talking about. You know, when Glenn, you and I were young and you opened up the hood of a F-150, you could climb inside 9/16 wrench and a common screwdriver and fix just about everything that needed to be fixed. Then, now you open up the hood and you go, wow. It looked like a computer in there instead of a car. I don't even know where. Somebody's like, where's the distributor cap? Does it even have spark plugs? I'm not even sure that this car is real. And so what we would do is we would ask someone who knew, right? I mean, look, how many times, I can't tell you how many times I open that up and I call somebody, they're like, oh, that's so easy. Oh, it's easy for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you how to do it. That's what we're at, the understanding of God. Can I tell you? God knows how he put everything together. And he's willing to tell you if you listen. And if you ask. Most of us just start pulling wires and shoving them here and there. And then go, it doesn't run, God. I don't know why. And he says, if you'll just ask, I will tell you how things work. Do you know that our God wants us to succeed?
That's right.
That's what he said. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil plans, for a hope and a future. So we need to have that.
But you can set out to pursue a God thing, but without understanding, you can miss it altogether. You ever done that? Have you ever gone, well, I know God wants me to pursue this, and then it just didn't work? It was probably because you didn't pursue understanding in the way as to how to pursue that God thing he told you to go after.
I cannot tell you how many times people have come to us and told us God told them to go do this, and then they run headlong into a dead end because they did it on their own strength, on their own knowledge, their own wisdom. And can I tell you, you come to the end of you. God, why did you drag me all the way here? And God's still standing back waiting. If you ask, I will tell you where to turn. Amen? So, two men of understanding who were very influential and successful in the kingdom of God and in the lives of men. We're gonna look very quickly at them. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 7 through 12. We're going to be talking about Solomon. The two men we're going to look at, Solomon and Daniel. That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. How many people want God to ask you that question? Have you got a good answer? Solomon answered, God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me a king over people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people, for whom, over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you. And I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have. Amen? Look. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Solomon, can I tell you what? God asks you, ask me anything you want. Roy, whatever you want, you ask me and I'll give it to you. Oh, a new car, new house, maybe a place in the Bahamas. See, all of a sudden we begin thinking, Solomon went, none of that. I want understanding. I want wisdom and knowledge. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now, can I tell you that cost him everything?
That's right.
It's not, you know, it's not like the genie, oh, you get another wish? No. Here's Solomon just said, this is what I want. That's all I want.
I'm willing to give up everything else. I'll give it all. It was not only what he did, but it was what he desired. And the beauty of it was, he didn't even want it for him. He said, give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Not so that people can esteem the wisdom and knowledge that I have and write books about me and say how great I am. But God, you gave me these people. And I don't know how to govern them. It was for them. He gave up everything. He pursued understanding. He could have had anything. And I want you to really think about that. He could have had anything. And yet what he wanted was understanding above everything else. What have you been asking God for lately?
When you come to the altar, when you are in your alone time with God, are you saying, my name is Jimmy, what will you give me? Or are you saying, Lord, I want wisdom and understanding because you've probably already given me everything I need. I just need to know what to do with it.
And if you are asking him for things, are you asking him for wisdom and understanding for those things? God, give me a husband. Give me a wife. Give me a child. God, give me a house. God, get me out of debt. Are you just asking for the stuff? Or are you asking for the wisdom and for the understanding to manage, maintain the things that he is going to give unto you?
How many things have you asked God for that he's given you that you destroyed and then we're asking him to take away? I can't tell you how many people, God, give me a husband, give me a wife. And then a couple of years later, God, take my husband, take my wife. Come on now. God, I beg you for children. Oh, God, I hate my children. I cannot tell you. Look, and instead of asking for that, say, Lord, give me wisdom with what you have given to me. Give me understanding of this wife that you have given to me, of this child. What to do right, how to honor you with what you've already given me. Not, Lord, can you take that child away and give me another one? This is what people want. I just want a replacement.
Solomon and Daniel were so influential and so successful in the kingdom of God and in the lives of men because what they esteemed and sought was understanding. Look at what it says in Ecclesiastes 7, 23 through 25. All this I tested by wisdom, and I said, I am determined to be wise.
I hope that's said about every one of you.
Man, you should find that in your Bible, and you should be, oh, Lord, like Solomon said, let it be me. I am determined.
You should write that on the inside of
your eyelids. To be wise. Not I'm determined to be right. I'm determined to be vindicated. I'm determined to be justified. I'm determined to be exalted. I'm determined to be healed. No, I'm determined to be wise above all things, he says. But this was beyond me. Whatever wisdom may be, it is far off and most profound. Who can discover it? Okay, have you ever felt like that? Oh my gosh. I don't even know where to begin to find wisdom for this. But look at what he does. So I turned my mind to understanding. He didn't sit there and think about how profound and far away wisdom was. He thought about it for a minute and then he went, but I'm going to turn my mind to understand. To investigate and to search out wisdom and the scheme of things and to understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. I want you to think about this scripture for a minute. Look at what he did.
I want you to think about this. Look at what he did. He's going to search out wisdom and the scheme of things. You know what the scheme of things is?
Roll back, Noelle.
Have you? Yeah, no, she's got it. Have you ever said that? Well, in the scheme of things, it's not that large of a deal. That's what he's talking about. So that when you're talking about in the scheme of things, that's everything. That's the picture as he painted it. Wait a minute, what color is it? He said, I just want to understand. He was determined. What does determined mean? Set in his, like a bulldog on a mailman. Sorry, brother. You know what? Like a bulldog on a public service worker. Why? Because, see, bulldogs, you know why they have that smashed nose and slits in their nose? It's so that they can hold on to their prey and breathe. Which means they don't have to let go when they've got a hold of it. That's what we should be, is determined, not just decided. Solomon decided to search things out, and he decided not to. I hear this all the time. I decided I'm going to church every Sunday. Oh, is it Bronco Sunday? Oh. And is today National Not Go to Church Day? Oh, I think I'm up for that. See, because we just decide instead of determine.
Amen.
Look, when you determine, I'm going to church. When we got saved, I remember Bethy, she's like, so they have midweek service too. I'm like, well, we better be there. Well, they might have some others. Well, every time the doors open, we're going to be there. You know why? I was lost. And I figured I better find something to find me. Because, look, when you're lost, you know, when you're out on the ocean and you got that radar ping, bing, it's somewhere out there. You know what? You know, that little circle goes around the radar so it can give you another reading. When you get yourself determined to do something, it's that reading. So he's determined. Oh, I can beep. Oh, no, it's that way. Beep. Yeah, I've got it, right? See, I'm getting my focus down because I keep getting soundings off of it. So I am determined. I'm not just decided. It was a conviction. It was a conviction. Not just, again, how many things have you decided? I mean, really? I decided this year I'm going to work out every single day. Now it's the, 13th, 14th, 15th? And I guarantee you there's gym memberships that have 14 unused days on them in most people right now. Because I'm going to work out in February. Right. I've decided. February is when I start. And then next January they'll go, I've decided I am selling that treadmill that I've got because, it's going. I'm going to go to the gym this year. And then next year it'll be, I didn't get to the gym, so I'm going to buy another treadmill. Look, that's decided versus determined, right? Determined is I don't care what happens. I don't care what the weather looks like. I don't care how I feel, how late I was up. He turned his mind. Solomon turned his mind. It wasn't just his feelings, but he turned his mind from the worldly things, because you didn't ask for wealth or fame or power. He said, I'll give you all of those things, because he put his mind to godly understanding. Can I tell you that God can trust someone with wealth and power and fame who has godly understanding? See, but the people that have wealth and fame and riches and that's all they're looking for, God can't trust them. They're probably just going to run themselves out, right? So you got to have a focus on God, on how God thinks, how God believes, what things are important to God. Have you ever asked God that? When you're praying, most of us are like, Lord, heal my body. Lord, take care of my family. Lord, my finances need you. Lord, blah. Hey, but just stop and say, Lord, what's important to you? God, what's important to you today? You know what? I have all day, Lord. What's important to you? Can you just tell me? Because I want to know what's important to you, because I want to do what's important to you.
Understanding how he thinks about things, how he feels about things. When you get out your black robe of your judgment and you start bringing forth all of your judgments about all the different things, stop yourself. Say, God, what do you think about this? How do you feel about this? What does this mean to you? Because we have such a different view of things than he does. Solomon didn't just dream and ponder. He set out his mind to investigate, to search out.
I mean, look, how many of you have dreamed of having that rock-hard abs? I did. They're there somewhere.
My cookies are better.
I did something about those cookies, you see. I dreamed about the washboard abs, and then I laid down with some bag of cookies and it went away, so I felt much better. I mean, I said, cookies? She loves me anyway. Well, bless the Lord. So I used to tell the boys, I still have rock hard abs, they're just under marshmallows.
But Solomon, he went beyond thinking to proactive investigating. Proactive investigating.
Proactive. What's that mean? Means you have to do something.
That's right. Pursuing. I'm in movement. But let's say you say, you know what? I'm going to spend a month and I'm going to pursue peace. I'm going to pursue peace. You know what? You're going to have to do more than think about it and dream about it and pray and ask God to make it all happen for you. You're going to actually have to pursue it. You're going to have to begin to maybe search out and investigate how is it that I do step into this supernatural peace? I mean, I know how to make a bathtub, and I know how to make a vacation, and I know how to pull out my bad coping skills to make my own peace. But I certainly don't know how to find God's peace. I may have to investigate. I may have to search it out. I may have to find somebody that exudes the peace of God and say, will you teach me? Will you show me? If I'm going to do this thing about helping to be at peace with people or bring peace to people, I may need to do some investigation. I may need to find out somebody I care about. How can I help to bring peace to you? Lord, your word says I'm supposed to live at peace even with my enemies. How in the world do I do that?
By the way,
you may have to investigate.
Just ignoring them is not pursuing peace. Some people are like, okay, they haven't shot over my wall for a while. I'm at peace. No, when you pursue peace, it means you go over there and you go, hey, I know you're angry with me, and I really like to know why, and I'd like to fix it. Whatever I've done to wrong you, I'd like you to forgive me, and I'll fix it, whatever it is. See, that's pursuing peace. Some people just want to pursue peace by going, okay, I just won't be at war with anyone. Not peace. Not being at war is not peace.
And then, that's right. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
She build said up. That,
Edifying one another. I want you to catch the last part of this before we go on to Daniel here, where he says that he turned his mind to understand and investigate and search out wisdom and the scheme of things and to understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. Now, I want to tell you something. I want you to know that he went to understand and not judge. I'm going to say that again. He went to understand and not judge the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. Do you know why? Because judgment brings death and understanding leads to life. I'm just going to say, when we get into judgment, Jesus said himself, I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. And whenever we get into judgment and we look at sin and we go, well, this sin's worse than that sin, and I can't believe anybody would be so stupid. And how in the world could you fall into that? And you've been saved 10 years, and what is wrong with you? And we get into this judgment. Judgment leads to death. It leads to death to that person because you can't even help them to find the ways of life because all you're doing is judging them and holding them in the ways of death. And then it puts you in the place of death. Because the measure with which you judge others, so shall that judgment come upon you. And so you need to be very careful about judgment. But understanding leads to life. That's why Solomon said, help me to understand the stupidity of wickedness and madness of folly. Do you know why? Because if I understand, then I can help you get out of that. If I understand what causes you to get into wickedness and folly, then I can come alongside. I can say, let me show you the way out. But if I'm judging you, I can't help you out. But see, Solomon knew this. And he said, oh, Lord, give me understanding. People don't wake up and decide to be stupid and wreck their life. At least I haven't found anybody yet. I have not found a Christian yet or an unsaved person yet that said, you know what, I'm just going to train wreck my life. You know what, I'm going to wreck my marriage, wreck my family. I'm going to wreck my ministry. I'm going to destroy. Have you guys met anybody? I know I haven't. What happens is, people make bad choices, they get ensnared, they get deceived. A lot of things happen. And if you will be like Solomon, say, Lord, give me understanding. Then God will help you to bring in the word of life to these people that will bring them out of death and back onto the path of life.
Remember, we're pursuing after the very heart of God. I did not come to condemn the world. I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Amen? That's the mind and heart of God. That's what we're pursuing. All right, on to Daniel. The book of Daniel. Book of Daniel, chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of the God of his God in Babylonia and in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Asphanez, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in a king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. What did we talk about? Daniel had some favor. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king who assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of that 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Can I tell you, God will set you up on high. I just like to say it wasn't just because they ate vegetables. It was because they were obedient to the Lord. Because they listened and had an understanding. From the beginning, we see that Daniel... One of the reasons they were chosen was because they were young men of understanding. Because they were able to learn, because they were able to grasp things, not just intelligence-wise, but because they were of a godly spirit. He's willing to sacrifice worthy things. I mean, look, you're a slave, and all of a sudden the king says, "I want you to eat right off my table." How many of you know slaves don't eat good stuff? I'm just going to tell you, it's like, here's your bowl of gruel, now just zip it and eat it. Because that's what slaves got. Now here's these boys, they're slaves, and the king says, "But I want them to have the best. I want them to eat my food off of my table, which is the best that can be found." Daniel said, "Wait a minute, I want to follow God. I don't really particularly care about what the king's eating. This is what God has told me is best." And so he laid aside all of those things to maintain wisdom and understanding. Amen?
He was willing to sacrifice things. He didn't even take the name that he wanted to give him. King wanted to give him a new name. He says, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to give you a new name." He's like, "No. I'm going to give you all this food." No. Why? Because Daniel understood that the wisdom and the knowledge that he had and that he needed came from God, not from man.
Now look, it also says that Daniel was a man who was able to interpret visions and dreams. Right? Now I'm going to tell you what, that was something because of what is about to happen in this scenario. The king is going to come and tell of a dream that he has had, and he wants his magicians and enchanters to give him the interpretation. We won't read through it, but I'm going to tell you, it's kind of long. But I'm going to tell you what happens. The king says to all these men, if you don't give me the interpretation of this dream, I'm going to cut your heads off and I'm going to make your houses ash heaps. Ooh. Well, now. Your dream means you're the greatest king in the world. I mean, the king is looking for an interpretation of his dream here. And he's got all of the enchanters and the soothsayers, all his magicians. They are terrified. And they don't get it.
That's right.
They can't understand the dream. And the king says, is not there a man in my kingdom who can interpret this dream? Kill them all. Kill all of them. Even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, or Belteshazzar. Again, he said, kill them all. Kings back then could do those things. You know what? You don't have my answer? Just kill them all. Well, needless to say, he began killing all his magicians and the Chaldeans and all of those things. And Daniel, having favor with the guards and those who were over him, says, why should the king kill his servants? Perhaps you should give us a little time to ask our God to do what? Seek understanding from our God. Which is when the king goes, oh, okay, well, fine. And so Daniel is given the interpretation of the dream. He's given the interpretation. What happens? He has gained understanding.
He gained understanding of the dream. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is kind of an interesting little picture because we do this sometimes. We want understanding immediately, and when we don't get it right away, we just kill the thing. Right? Instead of going, you know, maybe I should be patient. Maybe I should endure. Maybe I should wait a little bit and seek understanding before I just pull out my sword and start killing everything that doesn't give me answers right now. But God gave him the understanding, and he never took credit as though it was his own understanding. Daniel knew where his understanding came from. He knew it came from God alone.
You read about it in your spare time. Look, Daniel does not come, oh, king, I'm the smartest man alive, and I have found out what your dream means, and tells him, and then goes, by the way, I'd like a new castle, and I'd like some. Here's what happens. Daniel says, oh, king, it is not that I am the most intelligent, but that my God has revealed this to me. You know what? You know what Nebuchadnezzar does? Read about it. He bows down to Daniel. He bows down to Daniel. Now, I'm going to tell you what. For a king to bow down to anyone was something. Nobody got the king to bow down. But he bowed down to Daniel.
I'm not going to read it all. If you want to go back and read the story, you can go into Daniel 2. But I want you to hear Daniel's heart. In 27, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he is asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions has passed through your mind as you lay on your bed. So what is Daniel doing? He says, let me tell you something. I don't have understanding, but you know what? I'm going to go get it. I'm going to go get on my face, and I'm going to get understanding from the king. And he goes down in verse 30, he says, as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than any other living man, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. He sought the understanding of God so that he could bring the understanding to this man, so that this man could understand that the understanding that you're looking for is from a living God. When one of the things about Daniel 2, God bless you, is that no matter how hot his circumstances got, no matter even unto the threat of death, even unto having to sacrifice things that really mattered to him, Daniel did the same thing. He sought the king. He sought the king. When he was going to get thrown into the lion's den, it says Daniel went out and just like he did every day, and he opened his windows 3 times a day and he looked out onto Jerusalem and he saw God. Why? Because he knew. I'm willing to sacrifice everything to get understanding, because understanding is what I need for any situation I'm in. Whether I'm having to bring understanding to people without understanding, whether I'm just testifying about my living God, whether I'm looking to die, it doesn't matter. I know in every circumstance I'm in, all I need is understanding from the King. That's all I need.
Hebrews 13:8, he says, he's the same yesterday, today, and how long? Okay, Are we? Because here's what I see. In the middle of crisis, oh God, oh God. And when things are going pretty good, you're on vacation in the Bahamas, you're like, ooh, look at the world, pretty good. I'm digging the world. Well, it's just as simple as, are we the same when everything is going well? When your children aren't saying horrible things to you? When your spouse isn't throwing a pan at your forehead? Because see, in those times, then you're a real Christian. Oh, God! But Daniel was the same. It says every day. And when they brought Daniel and said, we're going to throw you in the lions, Danny went, all right, excuse me, I got to go pray. This is what I do every day. Well, don't you understand we're going to feed you the lions? Okay. So, can I go pray now? Because that's what I do. And so, even when Nebuchadnezzar goes to the mouth of the cave, and I don't know if you've ever seen these caves, I actually saw one of these specials, and they showed what one of these caves looked like. Horrifying. Horrifying. I mean, it's a dark, dark cave. It's about 15 feet down, a hole about this big, and they just shove you in there, and there's lions in there who don't get to eat a lot. And just the sound, they just had people down there and echoing the sound, and it's a cave. Can you imagine? Okay. And Daniel didn't go, oh God, help me. When they were at the fiery furnace, you didn't see them. And they were begging God for help. They said the same thing. Oh King, how God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But even if he does not, we will not bow down and serve these idols.
That's right.
I mean, see, look, here's the heart of Daniel. The heart of Solomon. I need understanding and wisdom to guide these people who are more numerous than the sands on the seashore. Remember that as we pursue this year, as you find your purpose, and as you seek after understanding, that you're going to take others with you. Some of you have heard me talk about this. The Thunderbirds, us the Marine fighter pilots, many years ago. See, they fly by sight. They don't fly by instrument. They have one lead pilot who leads them. Many years ago, they had several of them following in a training, and they crashed into the Great Salt Lake because the lead pilot missed. He was going, yeah, okay, 1,000 feet, or is that 500 feet? Oops. And five of them went, boom, 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 boom. Every one of them died. Now, as we're pursuing, can I tell you, you got other people following you by sight. You need to make sure that you are pursuing with a purpose that is from God and with understanding that comes from His throne. Because others are following after you and you don't want to be that first pilot. Boom, 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 boom. Right? See, we've got to be aware that as we pursue, there will be benefactors or there will be prisoners. You're either a hero or you're just a captive. So we have got to maintain that. though it cost you everything, everything you have, get understanding. Get wisdom.
You know, when you look at these two men, what you see is that they valued and they esteemed understanding above all other things in their life. And because of that, you see where they ended up in life. But one of the ways that you can tell that they valued it and esteemed it more than all other things is because they were willing to sacrifice for it. And I tell people this all the time. What you value, you will be willing to sacrifice for. You can tell what you value in life, not by what you say, but it's you're willing to sacrifice for it. Because anything that you value, you will have to sacrifice for it. If you look at the things in your life that you have sacrificed for, the reason you have is because you value them. Though it cost all you have, get understanding in this year of pursuit. Amen?
See, once again, what you value, you will sacrifice or do anything for.
Or
if some
it.
Of your houses caught on fire, I want you to think about what you would go in and rescue. Some of you would be in the garage trying to get your car out. Some of you would be pushing another car in. Oh, no, it was lost in the fire. Totally. What's that in your hand? Gasoline. But what we value, that's what you're going to, I mean, your house catches on fire, what's the first thing you go to save? Okay, they all got out. You'll find out what's valuable to you. Now, the question is then, is it valuable to God? Just a question. Maybe it's not your house. Maybe it's the whole of your life. What I'm valuing, is it really valuable to God? Is it what He wants? Remember to ask that question. Lord, what's important to you today? Lord, here's my agenda. 8:15, I'm going to be done praying. And at about 9, I'm going to need you to make a way for me to get out of traffic. And about 11:30, maybe a nap, just a little bit. And then, don't give God your agenda. Come to Him and say, Lord, what's important to you today? How do I fit me into you? Not how do I fit you into my schedule. Lord Jesus, the principal thing, Father, understanding. Help us to understand the Father's heart. Help us to understand the Holy Spirit's ways. And help us, Lord Jesus, to understand your great love for us. Give us hearts, Father God, and minds that seek after these things. Give us wisdom to walk uprightly in the midst of circumstances. And Almighty God, help us to give everything to find understanding and to hold on to it, to use it for the purposes that you have desired. And Father, most of all, to be called your people. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Stand up on your feet as we close in worship. And if you need to get understanding, then ask God, say, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Get me out of the place of judgment and in the place of understanding the heart of you that I could reach this world that you've called me to. Amen? We love you guys. Have a great week.
Of heaven through the glory of your Son.